So, it's our last Sunday of Movie Sundays in December. Who's enjoyed them? And so now, to go over there, get yourself some popcorn, get yourself a drink, and we're going to start very, very soon. And whilst you're doing that, I want to tell you about our other Christmas events that are going on. And so next week, we have our big Christmas carol concert. And there's an invitation to everyone in here, an invitation to the whole community, an invitation to friends, to family, and we want to see as many people come and enjoy Christmas carols, enjoy great hospitality, enjoy a great message, and be part of that. So the girls have been practicing. Awesome, it's going to be amazing. So bring people along, take a flyer, and Christmas carol service. We've got a service happening on the 24th, so we've got a Christmas Eve service, and then we will not be having an in-person service on the 31st, New Year's Eve, but instead we will launch back on the first service, the 7th of January, and we're launching back into a time of anointing and a time of prayer, time of fasting, for everything God is saying to us for next year, for 2024. So, I will actually invite our speaker now. So we're going to start our Movie Sunday, our last Movie Sunday. So I'm going to invite Pastor Chris Huckle to the stage.
Oh, I love church at the movies. I would do this every year if, well, not every week of every year if I could. It is such good fun. So like I say, nearly lost it there. So I hope that you have, oh, it's all right, I'll just leave it there. But I hope you have your popcorn, hope you have your drinks ready, hope you're ready. If you haven't experienced anything like this before, thank you. I hope you're ready for church, but not as you might know it. So, we've had a couple of interesting films. I did A Knight's Tale a couple of weeks back, which was all about being a knight in your heart. And then last week, we had Pastor Rachel talking about the Grinch and how his heart grew two sizes. But this Sunday, we have probably the most classic of classic Christmas stories, at least when it comes to the UK. We have A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. But of course, since I got to decide the movie, I had to think, well, there are so many different movie versions of A Christmas Carol. What would it be? So it has to be The Muppets' Christmas Carol. I don't know what it is. The Muppets, they're all fun, they're all silly, it's fun, everything is funny around him, and he plays it so serious, and it is absolutely wonderful. So if you haven't seen this before, you're in for a treat. Now, I don't know if you know, but in the UK, Christmas sort of faded for quite a long time. So this story is set nearly 200 years ago in Victorian England. And at the time, Christmas was more of like a super religious kind of festival. You went to church, but beyond that, you didn't really do much at home or in the community. In fact, the Times newspaper, which was the biggest newspaper in the UK at the time, went four whole years without mentioning Christmas once. It just wasn't that big of a deal. And then Charles Dickens, famous Victorian writer, comes along. He writes this wonderful story, A Christmas Carol, and all of a sudden, all of the posh Victorian people are like, oh, isn't this fashionable? Let's get a tree, let's give presents. But beyond that, Charles Dickens was wanting to get back to the heart of Christmas. And that's really what our theme has been for these past Sundays, about the heart. So we had A Knight's Tale, which is about the heart is what counts. Last week we had The Grinch, about your heart growing two, three, four sizes. And today, we're seeing about what the heart can do in this story. Now, let me give you a bit of context, especially if you've never read or watched this story before. So set nearly 200 years ago in the depths of winter in Victorian London, we meet this character called Ebenezer Scrooge. And Ebenezer Scrooge, he's an older gentleman. He's very rich. But the way that he got rich was by cheating people out of their money. He owned lots of buildings, lots of houses around London. They were cold, they were dark, they were grimy, they were nasty, they were tiny. And yet he was charging so much money for people to actually live there. He was a grumpy man. He was a rude man. He was only in it for himself. And he was just hoarding all of this money, making himself richer and making everyone around him poorer. He was a moneylender. And he had an office in London where he has a clerk named Bob Cratchit, who's played by the magnificent Kermit the Frog, as you will see in this clip. And he has a bunch of bookkeepers played by the rats here. And we will see what happens, because Scrooge has started to have a reputation around the town for being mean, for being cruel. And as we see in this first clip, we will meet Ebenezer Scrooge, and we will also see what everyone thinks of him. Just to warn you, this is a musical film. So,
hard and sharp as a flint, secret and self-contained, as solitary as an oyster.
There goes Mr. Heartless, there goes Mr. Cruel.
He never gives, he only takes, he lets his hunger rule.
If being mean's a way of life, you practice and rehearse.
Then all that work is paying off, cause Scrooge is getting worse.
Every day, in every way, Scrooge is getting worse.
Pleasant fella.
He was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone. Boy, this really is a dirty city.
You telling me?
Come here.
Thank you for making me a part of this.
He was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, clutching, covetous old sinner.
Bob Cratchit?
Yes, Mr. Scrooge?
Who is this?
It's Mr. Applegate, sir. He's here to speak to you about his mortgage.
Please, Mr. Scrooge, I know you're very angry about this, and I didn't mean to fall behind in the payments. Lord knows it, being Christmas and all. Oh, please don't shout at me, sir. That and, of course, little Gwen, her lungs aren't right. The doctor takes his share, don't he? I mean, you can yell and scream, and you're right, but it won't do no good, because I'm the stone you can't squeeze blood from, and that's the truth! Thank you for not shouting at me.
Tomorrow's Christmas, sir.
Mr. Cratchit.
Oh, my, there are certainly a lot today.
We'll get it, we'll get it.
Okay,
okay. Here you go. Look out on that end, look out, look out. Come on, guys,
Christmas is a very busy time for us, Mr. Cratchit. People preparing feasts, giving parties, spending the mortgage money on frivolities.
One might say that December is the foreclosure season.
Harvest time for the moneylenders.
If you please, Mr. Scrooge, it's gotten colder. Yeah. Any bookkeeping staff would like to have an extra shovel full of coal for the fire?
We can't do the bookkeeping.
Yeah, all of our pens have turned to inksicles.
Yeah, our assets are frozen.
How would the bookkeepers like to be suddenly
unemployed?
This is my island in the sun.
I believe you've convinced them once again, Mr. Scrooge.
At that moment, who should arrive at the door but Scrooge's nephew Fred, his only living relative?
Nephew Fred? I don't see him.
Trust me.
Hello? Oh. Uncle?
So?
You're very good at that, Mr. Dickens.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle Scrooge. God save you.
Merry Christmas. Humbug.
Quick, it'll be warmer in there.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Actually, I think it's colder in here.
Merry Christmas, you say. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
He's got him there, the old boy, speechless.
If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be cooked with his own turkey and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Well, not quite speechless.
Oh, Uncle.
Nephew, you keep Christmas in your own way, and let me keep it in mine.
Christmas is a loving, honest, and charitable time. And though it's never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that Christmas has done me good.
One celebrate Christmas on the unemployment line!
He was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, old Scrooge, a squeezing, wrenching, covetous old sinner. And the title of my message this morning is A New Heart. A New Heart is where we're going. Now, you might be thinking, what on earth drove a man to be that way, Ebenezer Scrooge? And this is what we're actually going to explore in this film. You have to think, nobody is born like Scrooge. Scrooges are made, not born. And in Proverbs 27 in the Bible, verse 19, it says this, as in water, a face reflects face, so the heart of a man reflects the man. Jesus goes into a lot more detail in Matthew where he says, where your treasure is, that is also where your heart will be. And you can see the different people in this scene, where they have put their treasure and therefore where they have put their heart and soul and their very life. Scrooge has placed it in money, in hoarding things, in keeping things to himself. And what has it done to him? It has hardened his heart. It has made him cruel and unfeeling and unkind. And yet, we see his nephew Fred, who has next to nothing. And he is open and honest. And she says, even though it has never put a penny in my pocket, I believe Christmas has done me good and will do me good. And I say, God bless it. The difference between the two men there, Scrooge and Fred, is not their possessions. It's their heart. Fred said, what rights have you to be dismal? You're rich enough. A certain threshold we need to get by. But beyond that, where we're just hoarding, accumulating, taking things for ourselves, it could be money. It could be our experience. It could be the latest gadget that's advertised on the billboards by the A3. Could be the latest relationship. Could be the next step forward in our career. But what it is, all of these decisions that we're making start to work on our heart. And before we know it, we might look back at our lives and think, how on earth did we get here? And that's actually what happens to Scrooge. He goes home late that night as Bob Cratchit and Fred, they're all gearing up. It's Christmas Eve, they're ready. And Scrooge goes home alone into the cold, into the dark. And he receives a supernatural visitation from his old partner who warns him, the choices you have made, Scrooge, they are leading somewhere. And if you don't change your ways, things are going to look very badly. Things are going to look very bad for you in the future. And he promises that that night, Scrooge will be visited by three ghosts, the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas yet to come. And the first one to visit is this little childlike ghost, the ghost of Christmas past, who takes Scrooge back to his childhood, back to every Christmas from when he was a little boy, growing up to being a young man, to starting his own business, and the people he met along the way. And if you're thinking, how on earth did Scrooge become so wretched as an old man, this is how. In his childhood is where it all began. Have a look and see what made Scrooge the way he is.
Good heavens. It's me.
Come on, Ebenezer. Last coach is leaving.
Come on, it never goes home for Christmas.
Who cares about stupid old Christmas?
I was often alone. More time for reading and study. The Christmas holiday was a chance to get some extra work done. Time for solitude.
Let us see another Christmas in this place.
They were all very much the same. Nothing ever changed.
You changed?
Excuse me.
Belle, I'd like to introduce you to Ebenezer Scrooge, the finest young financial mind in the city. Ebenezer, this is Belle, a friend of the Fozziwig family.
I'm pleased to meet you.
Well, I'm glad you two finally met.
You remember this meeting?
Remember?
There was, of course.
Oh, please. Do not show me that Christmas.
another year before our wedding, Ebenezer.
But it can't be helped, Belle. How could we marry now? There's not even enough for a decent home. The investments haven't grown as they should.
So you said last year.
Business continues to be poor.
You're a partner in your own firm now.
Barely clearing expenses.
You said the partnership was the goal.
This is for you. I love you, Bill.
You did once.
Spirit, show me no more. Why do you delight in torturing me?
I told you, these were the shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are. Do not blame me.
Leave me.
Said I'd do my best not to cry this Sunday. This movie always gets me. In fact, I was actually editing the clips in town one time, and then Alf and Glenda walked past at the time. It's like, oh, what were you doing here, Chris? Like, nothing, don't look at me. Oh, dear. You see, this is what made Scrooge the way he is. Even from childhood, it wasn't that he necessarily wanted to set out to be a bad person. He wanted to do his best. He was in a tough English Victorian boarding school, which destroyed your creativity, and the entire focus was on hard work, making the most amount of money. Christmas is not a time for family. It's not a time for friendships. It's not a time for fun. It's a time for study, to get more work done, to make more money. And these decisions over time, harden his heart to the point where he falls in love with this young woman called Belle. She falls in love with him. But the decision of putting finances first, he tries to trick himself and tries to convince her into thinking, this is all for you, this is for us. I'm trying to build a good life for you. But he neglects his heart and Belle walks away. And we see in life, isn't this exactly what happens? Where the small decisions we make every day, the choices we make for lesser things rather than the things that really matter, they harden our heart. And again, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23, we get this famous verse that says, keep your, protect it with all vigilance, because out of it flow the springs of life. This decides the course of your life, your choices, your priorities, your imaginations. And in fact, the prophet Jeremiah paints an even sorrier picture. Above all things, 17 verse 9, he says, the heart is actually deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? That's not to say that, you know, you're all automatically evil from birth, but there's a condition in here. There's something about our heart that is unwell, that is sick, that is constantly making choices that we think will bring us joy, we think will bring us pleasure, we think will bring us true satisfaction, but it ends up hardening our hearts and taking us away from what really, truly fulfills. The small choices we make every day harden or soften our heart, and then before you know it, could be young, could be middle-aged, could be old, could be anywhere in between, but before you know it, you can suddenly turn around and look back at the wreckage of a life and think, how on earth did I get here? And this is what has happened to Scrooge. And it is the choice that all of us face every moment of every day. Are we going to choose truer joys, the things that only truly can satisfy, the person who can only truly satisfy, Jesus, God, the lover of your soul, the creator of your life? Or are we going to allow small things that might not be bad? Making money is not a bad thing. Wanting to build a good life is not a bad thing. But these suddenly take center stage. And God is pushed into the corner. And before we know it, we are looking back and thinking, how did I get here? And we leave the ghost of Christmas past. And in its place, we have the ghost of Christmas present, who is actually a much more jolly sort of fellow. And the ghost of Christmas present takes Scrooge into the streets on Christmas Day and starts to show him what Christmas is truly all about. Take a look at this.
Giving up a gift to another, a pair of mittens that were made by your mother.
It's all the ways that we show love that feel like Christmas. A part of childhood we'll always remember. It is the summer of the soul in December. Yes, when you do your best for love, it feels like Christmas.
It is bring the ways of love made clear. It is the season of the spirit. The message, if we hear it, is may it last all year.
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas.
Spirit, I had no idea. I wish to see friends, kin. Show me family.
Here.
Why have we come to this odd corner of the town?
It's Christmas here, too, you know. That's Bob Cratchit's house.
Perhaps it was the spirit's own generous nature and his sympathy for all poor men that led them straight to the home of Scrooge's faithful clerk.
Oh, Peter, the Christmas dinner. The goose. The goose.
Oh, no. Now, son. Now you've gotten too excited. You go sit in your chair a moment. Okay, rest a moment. How was he at church?
Oh, as good as gold and better. On Christmas Day, who made lame beggars walk and blind men see?
A remarkable child.
And with that, the Cratchits came to what was surely the happiest single moment in all the livelong year.
Such a meager feast.
But very much appreciated.
I pay Bob such a small amount.
Bless us all with playful years, with noisy games and joyful tears.
We reach for you, and we stand tall.
And in our prayers and dreams, we ask you bless us all.
We reach for you, and we stand tall. And in our prayers and dreams, we ask you bless us all.
Understand how puppets can bring me to tears, honestly. So, I don't know if you saw Scrooge's eyes there. They weren't just tears. You could see what was going on the inside. His heart is starting to soften. His heart is starting to change. As the ghost of Christmas present shows him the true meaning of Christmas, even at Bob Cratchit's house, people who have next to nothing, and not just next to nothing for no reason, they have next to nothing because of him. Because of Scrooge cheating them out of their money and not paying them a proper wage. But the Spirit says this is what Christmas is all about. And it's not just once a year. The message of Christmas is to make it last all year. And Scrooge's heart starts to melt. It starts to change. And it starts to become new. And this is the condition that the Bible paints of the human heart. What we need is not the latest plan that is able to fix our lives, heart, or a damaged heart. Every one of us in some way has a broken heart or a bruised heart or a damaged heart in some way. And there's no way you can mend that. The solution is a new heart. And this is what God does through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. He shows us the true meaning of what life is all about, what it could be. And before we know it, our heart starts to change. And he starts to give us a new heart. And in fact, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus talks about the pure in heart. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, those who have received a new heart from God, those who can see the true joys of life." Because when they do, when your heart is right, that is when you will actually see God. And you can see Scrooge, all of a sudden, he's looking through, he's looking past everything that he thought would make him happy. And he's seeing that even in the tiniest of homes, Bob Cratchit and his family, even with a tiny feast, even with a sick son, Tiny Tim, they are able to find joy in the message of Christmas. So Scrooge is starting to wonder, what happens next? What will happen to that poor child? Now, I'm not going to show you the third spirit, the ghost of Christmas yet to come, because that is far too scary for a Sunday morning. But you can go and watch it. But needless to say, what ends up happening is that the ghost of Christmas yet to come shows him his future. He's an old man, and everyone around him will suffer the consequences, and he will not be missed. And he is shown that the future doesn't have to be written like that. Actually, the future can change. And we see in this final clip, after seeing Christmas in the past, in the present, and in the future, Scrooge wakes up on Christmas morning, thankful for the Spirit's message that has given him a new heart. And we see the power of a new heart, what that can do in a changed life. Have a look at this on Christmas morning.
But the thing that made Scrooge happiest of all was that his life lay before him, and it could be changed.
I will live my life in the past, the present, and the future of Jacob and Robert Marley. Oh, heaven in the Christmas time be praised for this day. I say it on my knees, Jacob and Robert, on my knees. Oh, they're not torn down. They're here, and I'm here. More's a miracle. I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy.
Do you think it's safe for us to be up here?
Scrooge is saved. What can happen now?
Yeah. Here's your turkey, Mr. Scrooge.
Follow me, lad.
With a thankful heart, with an endless joy, with a growing family, every girl and boy will be nephew and niece to me.
Nephew and niece to me.
Will bring love, hope, and peace to me.
Love, hope, and peace to me.
Yes, and every night will end, and every day will start, with a grateful prayer and a thankful heart. Open smile and with open doors, I will bid you welcome. What is mine is yours. With a glass raised to toast your health.
With a glass raised to toast your health.
And a promise to share the wealth.
Promise to share the wealth.
I will sail a friendly course, file a friendly charm on a sea of love and a thankful heart. Life is like a journey. Who knows when it ends? Yes, and if you need to know the measure of a man, you simply count his friends. Stop and look around you. Is born again each day. Don't let it slip away. How precious life can be. Thankful heart that is wide awake, I do make this promise, every breath I take will be used now to sing your praise.
Used now to sing your praise.
And to beg you to share my day.
Beg you to share my day.
With a loving guarantee that even if we part, I will hold you close in a thankful heart. I will hold you close in a thankful heart. Bob Cratchit!
So here you are.
Mr. Scrooge,
You, sir, were not at work this morning as we had discussed.
But Mr. Scrooge, sir, we did discuss it. It's Christmas Day. You gave me the day off.
I, Ebenezer Scrooge, would I do a thing like that?
No, I mean, yes, but you did.
Bob Cratchit, I've had my fill of this.
And I have had my fill of you,
Emily,
Mr. Scrooge.
Emily,
therefore, Bob Cratchit.
And therefore, you can leave this house at once.
And therefore, I'm about to raise your salary.
Oh, and I am about to raise you right off the pavement and onto the...
Pardon?
Yes, Bob. Raise your salary and pay your mortgage on this house.
please, sir, come inside.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Dinner on this fine Christmas day.
And Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more.
And Tiny Tim?
And Tiny Tim, who did not die.
Oh, isn't that swell?
To Tiny Tim, Scrooge became a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever had. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that truly be said of us and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
Just about held it together. Just about. This is the message of Christmas. This is the message of God. This is the message of the Bible. Through the work of the Spirit, you don't just receive an upgrade to your life. You don't just tidy up your life. You don't just cover over the cracks and the damage and the cuts and the bruises. You don't just receive a mended heart or a changed heart. You receive a new heart, a new life. In Ezekiel 36, verse 26, this is the promise of God for every single person. God speaking to you, not just the person next to you, but to you individually this morning. God is saying, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will take away your stony, hard, cold heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh, a soft heart, a tender heart, a heart that is able to see the goodness and the glory of God everywhere you go. I don't know if you heard some of the lyrics in Scrooge's final song there. They could just as well have been, I don't know, in the Psalms or a worship song or something like that. But a thankful heart, a pure heart, a soft heart. And we are believing that that is what God wants for you this morning. I don't know where your heart is at this morning, and I'm not saying that my heart is perfect. Maybe you've come into church this morning, leading up to Christmas, as kind of like a religious activity. This is something I should do around Christmas time. I should go to church, but your heart's not in it. That's okay. Maybe you've come into church this morning with a broken heart. Something has happened that wasn't your fault. Something was done to you or said to you, and your heart is broken. That's okay. Thank you for coming. Maybe you've come in this morning and you're feeling like your heart is hard, where you used to trust. You used to want to live a joyful, peaceful life that is open and generous to others, but it's been disappointed and downtrodden far too many times, and it's just safer and easier to keep it locked away. That's okay. Thank you for coming. Whichever one of those you find yourself in or something else where you know your heart is not right, the good news of Christmas, the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus is not just for Ebenezer Scrooge. It is for you this morning. that you can start and end each day with a grateful prayer and a thankful heart, one that is brand new. This is why we do this. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, Paul is training up his young apprentice, Timothy. And he's saying the whole reason and teaching is this. The aim of our charge, the whole purpose, is love. And not just any kind of love, but love that comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. I want to say that is available to each and every one of you this morning. I really pray that the message of Christmas does not pass you by. And I'm not calling you Scrooge this morning. I'm not calling you a squeezing, wrenching, clasping, tight-fisted hand at the grindstone who treads people down and hurts people. That's not what I'm saying. But we're using an extreme, funny, emotional example to say, actually, this is my heart too, in some way. I've been in places where my heart is broken, and I don't want to live a life that is open and full and generous. I've been in a place where my heart has been damaged, and it's just safer to lock it away and say, no one go near there. And I've been in places as well where I've just gone through the motions and there's been no heart engagement. But I know that when I let the Spirit do His work, God's Spirit in here, I no longer have to see my life as an upgrade. I don't have to try and be Chris 2.0. I don't have to try and fix my mistakes or the mistakes of others all by myself. I can invite the Spirit of God into my life and I can say, God, you can make me new. You can make me new. You don't just upgrade my life, you give me a new life. You don't just fix my heart, you give me a new heart. You don't just heal my soul, you make all things new in my life. And if that's what you're seeking this morning, you've picked a great Sunday to be at church. If that's what you're seeking, where you're thinking, I've tried, Chris, I've really, really tried. I've tried to change my heart. I've tried to be open and generous and kind. I've tried to be joyful. I've tried to put on a smile, whether it's your Sunday best in terms of clothes or it's your Sunday best in a fake smile where you have to pretend everything's okay. I want to say this morning, you can open the door. You can open the door of your heart. You can let God in. He's trustworthy. He sees you exactly as you are, and He's not ashamed. He's not disgusted. He's not put off. He's not afraid. He's not too busy. God sees your heart in the exact condition it is right now, and He's not turning away. In fact, He's saying, just let me in, and I will give you a new life. I will give you a new heart. Where maybe you're not cooking turkey every day, but you can live the spirit of Christmas every day. One that is open, one that is joyful. The journey of your life is heading somewhere. Somewhere exciting, somewhere fun, somewhere hopeful, somewhere joyful. That is God's offer to each and every one of you this morning. And you might be thinking, you know, Chris, what's the deal? What's the deal? What do I have to do? What's the cost? What's the payment? God is saying it's entirely free. In a few moments' time, we're going to pray a prayer all together. If you would like that in your life, if you would like that brand new heart where you've never received that before, we're going to do that in just a moment. But can I just say, you don't have to be a Scrooge in your family, in your friendships, in your work, in your spiritual life, in your hobbies, as you do the groceries. You don't have to live with the spirit of Scrooge in your life. You can live with the Spirit of God setting you on fire for the glory of God, for the power of God, for the life, the joy, the peace, the hope, and the goodness of God. And it's not just for Christmas. It is for here and for now and for today and for you and for your friends and for your neighbors and for your family and for your children. Scrooge, if it's possible to do that for him, come on, it's possible for you as well. You are not too far gone. You are not too broken. You are not too damaged. You are not too distant. You haven't made too many mistakes or failures for God to step in and make, like Jesus promised, all things new. Once again, all things new. So So how about in this moment, how about we'll just close our eyes and bow our heads, because we're doing this all together, but we're doing this for anyone who's in here who thinks, man, Chris, that sounds like a really good deal. How do I do that? Or thereabouts. God saw us in our humanity, in our weakness and our brokenness. And God came to earth as a baby, as Jesus. He grew up. He taught a radical doctrine of love and generosity and self-sacrifice. And he proved it by healing people, loving people, setting people free. And then ultimately, he paid the price for every one of your broken hearts, for every one of your failures and mistakes, by taking all of that brokenness, all of that sin, all of that independence upon himself as he hung on a cross. And as he stretched his arms out wide, he says, this is how much I love you. He died to set you free, and he rose again to send you into a new life. So we're going to pray a prayer all together out loud. If there's anyone in here who is wanting that, either for the very first time, or if you said something like this a long time ago, but you know you've walked away from God and your heart is broken and hurting, and you want to come home, Jesus is still standing with his arms wide open. So let's pray. I'll pray a line and you can pray it back after me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross that paid for my sin, and his resurrection to give me new life. I'm sorry for doing things my way, for shutting my heart away from you. But today I open it again to you. Come into my life. Make me new. Forgive me. And I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is my Lord. Amen. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, just in this final moment, if there's anyone in here who prayed that prayer either for the first time or as a way of recommitting your life to Jesus, I want you to do something super brave for just a moment. I won't embarrass you or bring you to the front or anything, and then you can put it back down again. So one, two, three. Is there anyone in here? Awesome. I see that hand. Very good. Is there anyone else saying yes to Jesus? Cool. Fantastic. Good stuff. Awesome. There's no thunder or lightning at the moment. There's no angels invading the space that we can see. But for everyone that raised their hand, your heart is brand new. There's new lives that have been born this morning, and that is going to be worth celebrating in just a moment. Hey, if you just raised your hand, or maybe you felt like you wanted to, but you couldn't for whatever reason, that's okay. On the screen behind me, there's going to be a QR code that says Next Steps. We would love it if you could give that a scan. It will take you to our website, where there's a few different videos from our team explaining about the amazing decision that you've made today. We'd love to give you a Bible, something to help you read the Bible, and we would just love to get you connected in lots of brand new ways. But the best advice that we always give is just keep on coming back. This is a whole group of people that love you and love to walk this journey out with you, this brilliant decision that you have made today as you have been made brand new. And part of maybe the decision that you want to make this morning in actually taking the next steps in your faith is actually giving into the life of this church. If you like what you see in this space and you want to invest, you want to think, yeah, I can get behind this. Well, on the screen behind me is another QR code. Many folks in our church give online, or there'll be some buckets going in between the rows during the final song if you want to give by cash. We thank you for your generosity. But we always say, if this is your first time at church, or if you're a guest, a new visitor, if you wouldn't consider this church your home, please feel under no obligation to give. We're just so thankful that you're here. Thank you for being with us this morning. Let the buckets pass you by, and we hope that you enjoyed the drinks, the popcorn, and everything else besides. I really pray, as the weeks go by, as you come back next week for our carol service, God will continue a tidied up life, but you receive a brand new life as well. May God bless you. May you receive and live out the spirit of Christmas all year round. In a moment, we're going to go out with one last song of praise. After the song is finished, head to the back of the room where we have some even more fantastic hospitality, food and drink prepared by the team. Parents, you've got another 15 minutes or so till your kids are done. At 12 o'clock, you can head on over to where you drop them off and pick them up again. Please don't forget them. Please do take them away with you. We cannot look after them after this time. But thank you so much for being with us this morning. How about you all jump to your feet? Going to hand back to the team. We'll get our praise on with a joyful prayer and a thankful brand new heart.
Okay, let's clap our hands. Hospitality at the back, so let's chat and have a good time. Thank you.